This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Listener, which would you prefer, happiness or wisdom? Have you ever heard a doctor prescribe happiness to you? Has your favorite physician ever handed you a prescription with these words written on it, "Don't worry, be happy"? Well, I know at least one physician, a board-certified cardiologist, who believes that both happiness and wisdom can be healing. Who is this friendly and wise cardiologist? Dr. Markham, are you there?
I'm here, Charles, and hopefully we can have some happiness here in our program today.
Amen.
And do some laughing, and hope our listeners out there are smiling there, because there's something to the Proverbs verse in Proverbs 17, verse 22. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, Charles. And that's one thing that we don't have enough. We don't have enough laughter and merriment, and you know, we need more of that in this world.
Now, let's talk about this. You can look into the inside of the human body. You know what's going on in there. You've seen visually by cutting open and watching, and you've talked to people, and you've diagnosed, and you've done all these things. When a person is happy, when I get up in the morning, let's just use me as an example. I get up in the morning and I look out and the birds are singing and the sun is coming up over the mountains and I just feel good and I have lots of good projects. Maybe I'll be doing a HeartWise Ministries project that day and I'm just a happy person. What is going on inside of me that's different from if I get up and I don't want to do what's going on in that day and people are mean to me and I don't want to get up and out of bed and I'm just all grouchy? What's different inside in me in those situations?
Yeah, it really happens in the brain, and happiness is a choice. We can choose to be happy or we can choose not to be happy, but we have known that when people are stressed out and anxious and worried, in fact, there's another text in the Bible that says, be anxious about nothing.
Nothing, yes.
But when we are all bent out of shape and not happy and sad and depressed, that shifts us down. The predominant areas of our brain that work are in the lower parts of our brain that we have in common with, guess what? Amphibians. Amphibians' brains, all they want to do is be safe.
Yes.
They do things to help them become safe. Their brain wants to be safe. Doesn't think about higher things, doesn't think about the future, doesn't plan, doesn't create. I just want to be safe. So when we start not being happy, when we're sad, when we're anxious, when we're fearful, we shift down to that part of the brain that we share with animals, and it predominates because it wants to keep us safe. And that part of the brain makes chemicals that are dangerous for us over the long haul. Adrenaline, which raises our blood pressure, increases our heart rate, raises a chance of heart attack. It causes our body to clot as if we were injured in battle. It causes inflammation and inflammatory mediators to go throughout the body, which might cause us to have joint pains or even brain not work as well when the neurons get inflamed.
Right.
It causes cortisol to go up, which might cause us to have high blood pressures, changes our metabolism. So basically, when we're not happy the way we were designed to be, when we're under stress or anger or fearful or sad or anxiety, it shifts us to the wrong part of a brain that turns on stress chemistry. When we're happy, it moves us up the ladder to the part of the brain that only humans have, the part that can communicate with God, the part that makes us creative, the part that makes us be altruistic and love and help each other. This part called the anterior cingulate cortex, it starts to develop and grows, and we make more chemicals like endorphins, which make us feel good inside. We have purpose. We connect with God and find out what His will is for us in life. And all these other things, even though they're in our lives, our brain's able to handle it because our brain is being controlled by a higher power. When we do this, the part of the text that says, create me a new heart, a new brain, is actually being done. And this also activates our own body's ability to heal itself, which is amazing, Charles. We have the ability to heal ourselves if we can plug into that. You know, it's just very exciting. And this is a new part of research that we're going to be talking about more in HeartWise. What can we do to make our brain give it the ability to heal itself? Because, you know, I've been studying Herbert Benson's work out of Harvard. And, you know, all these voodoo people, you know, the voodoo guys stick the doll and these people fall over dead. Yes. They do the autopsy. Nothing was wrong with them. Well, they believed. They believed that they were going to die. So their brain turned on this stress chemistry that actually killed them. The broken heart syndrome, where nothing's wrong with the person, but a loved one dies. They're breaking heart, all the stress. They have a chemical reaction and something bad that starts in the brain. And all of these people that are able to heal from placebos and from suggestion, well, there's a very powerful healing force in our bodies that we can tune in if we get happy, if we start thinking, if we activate the higher parts of our learning and turn off some of the stress chemistry that we seem to be moving toward. We want to move up the ladder of the brain and not down the ladder of the brain. When we're happy, we move up the ladder of the brain, the higher cortical functions, the good chemistry. And when we're stressed, when we're not happy, when we're selfish, when we move away from love, we move to the bottom part of the ladder, the stress chemistry of the brain.
Wow. You know, as you describe this, this idea of being safe when you're depressed, I know people like this, and I'm sure most of our listeners know someone just like this who sleeps a lot, who keeps the curtains drawn, doesn't want to go outside. They're trying to be safe. They're just trying to protect themselves. Now, okay, Dr. Markham, I'm going to put you to the test here. I'm going to look for some practical stuff here. Let's say that that person happens to be listening. That person is sitting on the edge of his or her bed, and they're feeling sad and depressed, and bad things have happened to them, and they're crying, and they don't want to venture out. All they want to do is be safe. How do they start that journey up that ladder from that very dark, safe place that they're sitting on the edge of their bed right now?
Well, you know, they've done a couple things already, but just discovering that they might be in the basement part of their brain, that they might be operating out of stress and fear and anxiety, that's the first place. Because unless you know you're lost, you can't be found.
That's true.
You can't be helped. So that's the first thing. What I tell people I start with, again, this is like diet, nutrition, exercise. We want to move from step A to step B.
Yes, yes.
You don't get to Z right away, but some simple things that we can do is realize you're there, and the thing that I like to ask people to do first is pray. Pray that God will help you to move out of the stress part of your brain, to move up the ladder to the part where he can reach you the best. And that's the thinking part of the brain. Try to look at your life and make sure there's not things there that you're worried about that aren't really threatening you. Most people make things bigger than it really is.
True.
You know,
that's
they
true.
Worry about what other people think about them. They have preconceived thoughts and fears, and they're really not fears at all. They're not endangering your life. So I say, you know, first put things in perspective, ask God to help you, and then as you move up the ladder, try to find three things to be thankful for. Brain researchers have shown that it's very hard to be thankful, truly thankful, and stressed at the same time.
That's true. Yeah.
Another thing that's very helpful immediately is take a deep breath very slowly, hold it 5 seconds, blow it out slowly. This turns down the immediate stress in the body. And another thing you can do is concentrate on a piece of scripture that's meaningful to you and go over that over and over and over. And if you go over that, this will help sort of block out some of the other thoughts that are dominating you. Just focus on you and God and just don't focus on anything else and let the brain sort of reset, reboot. You know, so being thankful and prayer. And then last one, find something to laugh about. When you're laughing, we talked about happiness. This moves you up the ladder. This turns on endorphins. This turns down the stress chemistry. And as you do this, you'll pick up other techniques, whether it be walking, better nutrition, talking to other people, learning more. But the key is, I really think, is to ask God to help you move up that ladder and using a plan that he can give you to help you. Serving other people is a very valuable tool, because when you serve other people, you take the focus off yourself.
Yes, yes.
And in realizing that, you know, you're in charge of your happiness, you can make these moves up the ladder. And, you know, a lot of people are down at the bottom and they don't even realize it, and they're ill and they're sick and they're taking lots of pills, and they can do a lot themselves just because the mind can help heal you if you know how to train things and how ask God to take control of your life.
That is so important. Just recently, I did a program for you, Dr. Markham, with Conrad Vine. He is a pastor, and he's working on his doctorate, and we did a program on meditation. Now, meditation is not something that most Christian circles talk about, but there is a meditation that God has in mind for us, and it's exactly what you just said, where we concentrate on God, not concentrate on us, but on God, and what He wants for our lives, and how much He loves us. When we sit and meditate on God, a lot of the problems that we face become less and less in our mind. They shrink in size because we realize that we are children of God and that God has wonderful things in store for us, and He wants to be our guide as we move from those dark places to those, as we move up that ladder, as you're talking about. This is perfect. That folds beautifully. So I just want to recommend our listeners that they start that journey, like you say, with that prayer, with the realization that where they are is not a good place to be. They have that prayer, God help me, and they concentrate and meditate on God's love and let that knowledge that God loves them and has a plan for them begin to lift them up slowly but surely up that ladder. Then they can have the strength to eat better, to exercise, to be more involved with the community. This is a wonderful journey, Dr. Markham, and you've outlined it beautifully. Thank you.
Well said, Charles. That's just a great way. And, you know, remember, you know, it's consistency, doing the same thing every day and letting God take control and not getting discouraged. You know, just keep getting up and keep going on.
Yeah. Okay, we have some questions that have come into Heartwise Ministries. We'll get to these after our break. The first one has to do with, well, I would say artificially climbing up that ladder with an energy drink in one hand. Good idea. Let's find out from Dr. Markham on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "I never connected worship to health. All this changed dramatically when I began to see a coming together of two elements, biblical truths and science. As scientists gained the tools necessary to peer further and further into what makes life possible, I found that my faithful Bible began to make more sense. Study after study seemed to emphasize certain biblical passages, bringing to light their ancient truths. This merging of science and the Bible changed the way I regarded Scripture and launched me on a search for healing and the practice of medicine that continues to this day. Science was not refuting biblical truth. It was actually proving it." Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit heartwiseministries.org.
Why am I sick?
How can I get off my medications?
How do I get better?
How can I have ultimate healing?
The Ultimate Prescription by Dr. James L. Markham answers these questions and introduces the reader to the ultimate prescription for our lives. This book is available at your local bookstore or online at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. James Markham, cardiologist and founder of Heartwise Ministries. And there's a website, heartwiseministries.org, that has a place for lots of questions to be left by you. And we invite you to do that, heartwiseministries.org. And here's a question, Dr. Markham, that came in recently that I want to bring in at this moment because we're sort of on this subject. This person says, I am grumpy when I do not sleep well and I don't work as many hours as I can because I'm so sleepy. I can't quit my job. Would energy drinks help? Now, I've seen these energy drinks, little cans you can buy with bright colors on them. Good idea, bad idea? What's your take on this?
Not a good idea, Charles. Energy drinks are not really a solution to that person's problems. An energy drink actually is going to stimulate the body and artificially make them go faster. So some of the energy drinks are loaded with caffeine, yes, which raises the blood pressure, the heart rate. Some people that drink energy drinks don't eat adequate nutrition. So I would say this is a bad idea. And if they can look at the reason why they feel that way and get at the cause, that's going to be a much better way than to just treating the stress on their body, whether it be lack of sleep or lack of water, with something artificial that might make them feel better in the short term, but does nothing but treat the symptom.
All right, very good. And here's another question that came in, and it folds right over. This guy has the opposite problem, and it also includes drinking of another kind. Here's what he says. I guess it's a him. I always feel happy when I go out with my friends and drink. And I don't think it's energy drink you're talking about.
Yeah, no.
However, I know this is not good for me. Will a drink or two be a problem for my health? Oh, my. Good question.
Yes, it will be a problem for his health specifically because, you know, there's never, in my opinion, a right reason to drink, but he's drinking for all the wrong reasons. He's down in that bottom layer of stress, and the way he's dealing with stress is not thinking about it. He's saying, well, I just want to numb my senses. But we know that those type of people really aren't happy. When people can find true happiness, you know, we talked about this before, chemicals like endorphins, dopamine, pheromones, all these are released. In fact, a Harvard researcher named Kobzansky suggests that if you're happy, your risk of cardiovascular disease goes down a lot. So I would advise this person to see, you know, why are you drinking and are you not happy and what are true sources of happiness? And, you know, I've got seven things that I want to give this person that might help them become more happy, that help them out. These are seven suggestions for this person that thinks they have to drink to be happy. Number one, find ways to serve others. And it might even be something small like smiling or opening a door. We've talked about number two, be thankful. Be thankful. A thankful heart is a happy heart. Number three, to be happy. Another place to start, go outside in nature. Take the deep breath that we talked about. Feel the sunshine. Go camping. Go for a walk, a bike ride. This always works for me if I'm going down that ladder. I want to, you know, be happier.
Right.
Another one, number four, if you can and you like it, enjoy animals. This means a pet. It might mean a trip to the zoo. Very few people that enjoy animals can stay down at the lower part of their brains when actually enjoying the animals. Yeah. God gave us animals for a reason. Number five, make the time to do something you really enjoy. That might be a hobby or holding a baby, going out to eat, or spending some time with loved ones. We are so busy 24/7, we don't take any time for ourselves to be happy, to sort of rejuvenate. Number six, if you think you have to have alcohol to be happy, go out and listen to some uplifting music. There's strong research that says that helps turn on this happy chemistry that we've talked about. And lastly is the one that we talked about earlier. Read the Bible and allow the creator of happiness to show you the way to be happy through worship. So these are seven suggestions for that person that's drinking alcohol. He thinks he needs alcohol to be happy. These are real ways to be happy that are tried and proven and scientifically backed up in the literature.
Now, Dr. Markham, of course, we're going to have to ask this next question because it goes right along with this. Can't we treat depression with medications? Now, we have had friends on medications, and we see a transformation. They're feeling down in the dumps, and they go see a psychiatrist, and the doctor prescribes this new kind of wonderful drug, and the next time we see them, they're smiling, and they're happy, and everything seems to be copacetic. Why not just be happy with medication?
Yeah, and if I gave you the right types of medicines, I could make anyone pretty happy, Charles.
Yes.
You know, I could give you some medicinal marijuana, and you'd be happy all the time. I could give you some laughing gas, some nitrous, and you'd be happy all the time.
Yes, yes.
So we can change our chemistry, no doubt about that. But a lot of people do change their chemistry because their brains want to feel safe. They're in that stressed out world, and they don't even know it. So they look for artificial ways to feel safe, to feel that stress relief from their bodies, just like whether it be alcohol. Some people choose cigarettes. Some people choose overeating. Some people choose whatever that will be. But yes, you can do those things, but it's not the right way. Now, as far as depression and medications, 20% of people have genetic things that we can't get over. And sometimes they do benefit from that. But a lot of our health comes from our nutrition, the way we treat our body, the way we treat our brain. And when psychiatric medicine for depression are only effective about 20% of the time, sometimes in my practice, I try to get people to focus on nutrition, cognitive therapy, being happy. These things we talked about first, work on physiologic things like vitamin D, thyroid, make sure their body's really good, make sure they're getting good blood to their brain, good oxygen to the brain. Work on these things first. And I would say when people do that, most of them do not need a medicine for depression. A few do, but not many, Charles. And unfortunately, it's not easy or doesn't make any money when we're not prescribing a medicine. When we go through these steps, you know, the person wins and they learn truth. But guess what? No money into the pharmaceutical industry, no side effects, no hospitalizations. We get at the core of the problem rather than treat symptoms, and the problem goes away. So you know how that goes. And that's the problem that we are seeing with modern medicine.
You know, maybe we need to really describe what happiness should be. We think happiness is, you know, I'm just so happy today, and oh, everything's all wonderful and pleasant, and everybody loves me, and the job's going fine, and the marriage is going fine, and my life's going fine. Is that what happiness is, Dr. Markham? Are we setting our goals too high here?
Well, you know, I've thought about this. What is happiness? Does that mean laughing? What does it mean? And we look back to the biblical examples of happiness. You know, who do you think was really happy in the Bible? You know, Adam and Eve, they were surely happy, right?
Yeah.
And what were they doing? You know, they were working. They were visiting with God. They had someone to love. They had a purpose to do things. Mm. I don't necessarily think they were laughing all the time.
Yeah.
And I think about Christ. Do you think Christ was happy?
Yes.
I think he was a very happy person, you know, and I think he was happy when we're fulfilling God's purpose, because God is the source of love. God is a source of happiness. He knows what's better for us even than we do. So God's plan for our lives is the definition of happiness. Yeah. It might not be giddy all the time. It might be hard work. It might be ups or downs. Ask some of the early apostles.
Yes.
But happiness for a life is more of a principle and not an emotion. You got to be very careful with emotions. That comes from the middle part of the brain that we share with mammalians. You can be emotional and not have any cognitive effect of that. Mm-hmm. So emotions, you got to be very careful. So I define happiness more as a fulfilling of God's purpose in a life. And as you walk with God and he moves in your life and you're fulfilling his purpose, I think that might be the definition of happiness for me. And I think everyone else will define that based on their own experiences.
That is why Peter and Paul could sing in jail.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. You have described that beautifully, Dr. Markham. Happiness is just knowing that we are on a journey to heaven, that we're part of God's family, that there are going to be ups and downs, there's going to be concerns, but we know how the story ends. We've read the book to the end. We've read through Revelation. We know what's ahead for us, and that can color how we feel about what's happening to us today and what's going to happen to us tomorrow. And I think that generates that base happiness that we need in our lives. Well put, Dr. Mark.
And I think in the future, as we learn more about neurologic and brain function, we're going to find out that this happiness walking with God has the amazing ability to increase our immune system function, to turn on good chemistry that turns off the bad chemistry, causes diseases, to help our genetics, to help us prevent infection. I think we're going to find that relationship, if we did the research, is going to do wonderful things for our body.
You know what, Dr. Markham? What you just said makes me happy. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Dr. Markham, thank you so much for being with us today. Wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you.
My pleasure, Charles.
And until next time, listener, this is Charles Mills along with my good friend, Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain hurt-wise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.